Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Locklear.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Oh, yeah.
We got some news for you today. We're going to be recapping that joyous win over the Wizards, as well as that 119-191 loss versus the Bucks. We'll kick things off with that, and then we will get into a quick preview against the Pacers. And anything else?
Kind of some freshies, but that'll be part of the Wizards recap, given the fact that Derek Walton Jr. Has officially arrived for the Clippers.
Absolutely. All right, so all that and more coming up right about now.
So we got to talk about the loss that happened on Friday, because it was a bit of a...
It was a bit of a bummer.
It was a shellacking.
Yeah.
The Clippers lost 119-91 against the Bucks in Milwaukee. We were without JaMychal Green, Landry Shamet, Roddy Magruder, and it showed.
Yeah, this was a hard one. It's a game where it's hard to find a lot of things to like out of a loss like that.
This was almost the first game with nothing to like in the what did we like section.
Yeah, but there's a couple slim things, so we'll start things there. While he didn't have a great night by his standards, Harrell in the 6 to 8 foot range is getting so comfortable, just stretching out from the basket just a little bit, and it's great.
It's that rational range. We kind of talked about like the rational jumpers, but now I think a good name for it is rational range.
Yeah.
We're like, for Trez, that is perfect.
I think he can pull that out to 10 feet, and that's great.
Yeah, that is that perfect, like, all right, a little extra couple of inches.
Yeah.
Down there. Zubats played great. He had 14 and 12.
Yes.
That was a good time.
Yeah. And nobody got hurt in the game.
No one got hurt.
So
Patrick Patterson got hurt.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Let's get into what we didn't like.
The intensity level.
Okay.
Like, so we were down three.
You think
key
this
guys.
Was an effort thing?
Not totally, because the Bucks are a fantastic basketball team.
I can see what you're saying though. It does play into it.
Yeah, Giannis, you know, had himself a day, but the kind of from the moment the game started, the Clips didn't feel locked in. Or
this never felt like a game where we were about to have some huge comeback.
Yeah,
it never felt like that. Like, we've watched this team a lot. There are games that a lot of times you're watching down the wire because, you know,
that's
even at 20, 30 points, we're still
there,
firmly in it. This did not feel like one of those games.
Yeah, it. And, you know, I mean, Giannis did his thing. He had 27, 11, 4. It was fantastic. He did only shoot 25% from three.
They overwhelmed us in a lot of ways. I think it's kind of interesting. Offensively, none of our top four guys could really put it together in a cohesive way.
Yeah.
This was a 28-point loss, which is actually the exact same amount of difference from every one of our stars having 20 points. Like, every one of our four top-scoring guys.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, I believe they had, like, 11, 11, 13, and four, something like that.
Yeah.
13 and 14.
George
all
had 13,
low, all under 20.
Kawhi 17. Yeah, Trez 11, Lou 11.
Yeah.
So, tough.
So, the difference in that is, like, the difference between us at least tying up this game, them performing that. For those guys, 20 points or right around there is pretty close to a baseline,
for sure. Yeah,
of expectation. So I feel like that is a little bit promising in that, like, it just didn't all come together.
Yeah, nothing really came together.
One thing I really didn't like was just watching Kawhi kind of force shots.
He did not have the strongest night. He did have a 17, but he went 5 of 14.
Yeah, and that shot selection. Yeah, like it just wasn't always the best. I do give him the benefit of the doubt in a lot of mid-range things. But even still, I would say like a third of his shots, at least there was a better shot on the court, that he could have passed into.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
His only assists, came two shooters, and most of them were like out of double teams. If not every single
one. It was one of those games where everyone was out of sync. Cause when Kawhi's doing that, it's cause we're out in sync. We lost the non-Giannis minutes, which is where the no Sham, Green, or Gruder kind of showed.
Mm-hmm.
Still winnable without those guys, though.
Definitely.
So that was kind of tough to see.
They contained Trez really well. This to me was maybe the most surprising, just looking at the matchup numbers.
Yeah, 11 points, 3 of 7 shooting. That's unheard of for Trez.
Yeah, especially looking at the matchups from the last game. Like, he really fared... He fared well against both Lopez's.
Yeah.
So,
we sure as hell, yeah, talk to, about it.
to see him having a much harder night with, you know, like forcing him so aggressively forcing him left. I don't know. I hope, from what we saw tonight, it doesn't seem like he's figured out yet. Like, I don't think that anyone has necessarily figured Trez out.
No. But there's things you can do to make it a little more difficult for him.
You can definitely slow him.
I mean, there's not too much more. This just wasn't a good game. No one really for the Bucks kind of popped off against us. Giannis had 27, yeah, but it was an even keel kind of beating. Connington had 13. He was plus 35.
Yeah, overall, just not a good game for the Clips.
Yeah, how'd you feel? Do you remember going back to when you were watching it? How were you feeling watching it?
Oh, not good. It felt like garbage.
It was just kind of like this. I mean, it was tough.
We put
it was
15
the first,
points in the first quarter.
It was truly the
first. I knew we were going to lose. I mean, like, not.
No, I
we were
going to
lose this game after the first quarter.
It was the first ass kicking the Clippers have gone through. Like, the first comprehensive ass kicking, I feel like.
Yeah, that's fair.
But we bounced back.
Was at a very good team's hand, too. So, how we feel, I guess,
it was
for
rough.
Me. I was going to throw up. Anyways, coming up next, we're going to have a preview for you, or a recap, rather, of yesterday's game. When you're listening to this, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm way off. I have whatever. But before that, if you're a Spotify listener, you should use Spotify Wrap to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and host or show Twitter account. Which, you know, I'm assuming you're listening to this one the most. That's at Locked On Clips, at Will Update, at Charles Mockler. But yeah, you share that with at Locked On Live, and we'll share it and retweet it.
Let us know. We got
we'd
a competition.
We'd love to know.
Yeah, we got a competition going on the Locked On Clippers one. I think
I've been impressed.
At Tony is number one with like 7,000 minutes listened to or something.
Good luck, though. You still have time before the end of the year. So.
Still got time. Also, it is that time of year when everyone is traveling or running around getting thoughtful gifts from the people you care about, which we're all doing. Think about giving yourself the gift of Audible membership. Now is the best time to do it with a special offer of 53% off your first 3 months.
Go me.
Go you. Access an unbeatable selection of audiobooks, including the bestsellers, motivation, mysteries, thrillers, memoirs, and more. Almost all M's in there. You can choose 3 titles every month, 1 audiobook, and 2 exclusive Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else.
Oh.
Listen on any device, anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. It's great while commuting, at the gym, or during your holiday travels. With Audible, you also enjoy easy audiobook exchanges and your own audiobook library you keep forever, even if you cancel. That's kind of a nice situation. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. Give yourself the gift of listening. For more, go to audible.com/lockedonNBA.
All right, so let's get into that recap of the dub over the Wizards.
That this one
135-119.
This one started off a little rocky, I would say. First half was a little bit of a this might be a trap game.
It was close. The Wizards have a great offense.
Yeah, third best offensive rating in the league. But we got it done in the end, which felt good. You kind of described this as a no-win game.
Yeah, truly. So it's a game where, no disrespect to the Wizards, as I said, they do have like a great offense, but defensively they're not really slowing down either of our top wings. So a win, I don't feel like necessarily shows us that much about the team, and a loss would be catastrophic.
Yeah, thankfully we were on the good side of that, which was the win where it's like,
the nothing win.
The nothing. The 135-119 nothing win, which we'll take.
There was some really, really solid things.
There was
great
stuff in this game.
I guess the Derek Walton minutes are probably like the biggest standout.
Well, this was Derek Walton's best game for a Clipper, absolutely.
Yes.
He was the most productive of the guards that wasn't named Lou or Bev.
Okay.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Even your boy Jerome had a bit of a tough night.
Yes.
He had 7 points. He had an offensive board. He had a dime. He played solid defense. These were in a game that, you know, felt a little too close at times. This was much needed.
Yes.
He helped.
Yeah.
He was a net plus in this game. Do you think this means he should play some more minutes? Do you think we see him specifically tomorrow because of the game against Indiana, do you think we maybe see him just because it's a back-to-back? And we're short some guys.
Oh, I would assume he'd get minutes, yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow? I'm excited about that. What do you think about going forward?
I don't know that it merits any more minutes or anything. Like, I don't want to draw too many conclusions yet. I've loved Derek Walton since the preseason. I mean, he's an incredibly fun player to watch, and he
gets guys in their sets.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you just worry about him size-wise, and if the shooting isn't really there, it just depends on the matchup.
For sure. I hope he gets some more productive time against the Pacers. He was great in this game. Trez, all around, had a great night.
Defensively, he had some great contests. And for sure. Some of them did end in fouls, one of which was like
absolute
garbage for call.
Yeah.
But.
He ended up with 20 points, tacked on 5 boards. You'll love to see it, 66% shooting. From the line, he also added 4 of 7, which, 57%, usually a little better than that. But yeah. He played great. Kawhi, incredible offense tonight.
Yeah.
34, 11, and 5 on 66% shooting.
Yeah, and he was like, he was just letting it fly from 3.
Yeah.
Which was nice to see. The quality of shots. That was my biggest thing. In saying that it felt like he was forcing the offense in that game against the Bucks, it's like just the selection wasn't there.
Yeah.
And we do tend to trust Kawhi in the mid-range. I think that those are shots that like you hate, obviously, every time that he's missing them, but like you will live with them because most times he is comfortable in making them. You know what I mean?
It's like what Doc said. He was like, you're going to tell Kawhi to not shoot at the elbow.
Yeah. But seeing him like take like better, like higher percentage shots.
Yeah.
And feel comfortable in those as well in this game was very nice to see.
Definitely. Paul George, a little cold from 3 early. I think he started,
He was one of eight at one point.
Yeah, hit a couple of them late. He ended with 27, 6, and 6.
Yeah, and was 3 of 10 from 3 overall. So, like,
still,
he'll live with it.
Yeah, he'll live with it. Great to see a game from, the 2-1-3, kind of like we wanted to see against the Bucks. It's obviously not the same, but it was good that it was a nice bounce-back game.
Yeah.
Offensively for them. Definitely. Was, his usual great defensive self tonight, and then the perfect Mo offense.
Yeah, 11-6-1 with 2 steals, 66% shooting.
Perfect Mo game.
That is a perfect Mo game. Yeah, like, that's incredible.
His defense, Miriam Swanson, for those who registered, go read her piece on Mo's defense. Dude, he's been everything as advertised and more.
Oh, yeah.
With his ability to guard 1 through 4s, pretty much.
An actual 1 through 4s. Not like he can go for a few possessions on guards. He can shut down guards for whole
games.
He's
a real 1 through 4 scorer. That's a really good distinction to make, because some 1 through 4 guys play the 1 for like 2 possessions.
Like, you can hop on him for a couple of possessions for sure, but he's like, but, no.
Yeah, he's like, no, it's not happening. He guarded Beal tonight. He guarded everybody, which was great. Beal, speaking of which, held to 28% shooting. That's how you beat the Wizards.
Yeah. I loved how we took care of the ball in this one. We only had 10 turnovers. It's our third lowest all season. This has been one of those things that's been bothering me. And it's not even... The thing is if the assists were looking a little bit better, I would live with it. You know what I mean? But I don't feel as though like the ball movement has been that spectacular. I mean, especially in that game against the Bucks. But
yeah. I see what you're saying. Sometimes it's like the assists are...
I think that you live with it. Like, the Warriors were always a high turnover team.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
You're flying,
like
you're whipping
style
the ball
that, yeah, like the style that they play.
For sure.
When we're not really getting, like, when we're not really getting that kind of movement, or it's just like the kind of one pass.
Take your turn type thing. Yeah, Doc does not like that offense either. The second half looked great. The first half was a little tough, which we'll get into the next segment. But other than that Milwaukee game, our second halves have looked good.
Yeah, that's fair.
That Portland game, the defense tightened up incredibly in the second half, which is the exact same thing that happened in this one against, the third best offensive rated team in the league. But
what didn't we like in this one?
I was going to ask just one question.
Got it, yeah.
Are Doc Rivers teams just second half teams? Last year we were. It felt like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like things, he keeps saying his we didn't make any adjustments thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like we've talked about, we think that's a Docism.
Yeah, it's definitely a Docism.
Do you like being a second half team?
Yeah, of course.
Right. That's okay. I like to be a whole game team, but
whatever, old man.
All right. So, what did we not like?
Because
there were some things.
Our bench did get outscored in this one, which was a little bit
two guys, pretty much.
Yeah, Davis Bertans is
dude.
That is looking, man. That is a face palm and a half for San Antonio.
That, like, he's on the open market after this season.
Yes,
and a pretty shallow.
Yes,
are him and Trez going to be the best pick?
I was going to say, dude, somebody is going to be ramping up to get these two dudes.
He was unbelievable. He had 25 points tonight. Shot 278% from three, which is pretty incredible. No, he went 6 of 12 from three. So he has the green light, and it's fine, because he killed us last time we played, too.
Yep, yeah.
Troy Brown Jr. had the outlier of all outliers.
Yeah, he had a 22-point game. His second highest scoring game all season, I believe, is like 14 points.
So this was an outlier.
Yeah.
The Bertans thing, not. All credit goes to the god, Davis Bertans. Yeah, all credit goes to him. But the Troy Brown Jr. was a product of facing Jerome and Mann. And we played a Jerome, Mann, Derek Walton three-guard lineup quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because of Jamichael Green only playing 4 minutes, which we'll get to in a sec. But so he got to see maybe, I think, some maybe more inexperienced defenders going against him,
mm-hmm.
and took advantage of it. All credit to him, but not indicative of really like the bench being bad, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got an interesting Bertans note in here.
What did I put on here? Oh, yeah. Bertans would be a nice Clipper, dude. He'd be a nice Clipper.
Yeah.
It's been talked about on Twitter a bunch. I've seen there's been like some trade ideas. I don't know how it would happen. Trade wise, I don't think we could do it. It would hurt the team too much. Like so much. Unless they were like
trade wise not happening.
Unless they were like, we only want 1 second round pick. We'd be like, great. but no, he'd be a nice Clipper. He's gonna be a free agent next year. Who knows what's gonna happen? We kept sagging off Bertans, which was something that was kind of baffling after he made his like
Mo Wagner early too.
Yeah, and Mo. Kawhi fell at one point and grabbed his knee.
Oof.
That was like,
oof,
dude, that was terrifying. Hadn't had a moment like that in a while where it was just like, oh, okay, just watching the whole thing go before our eyes. Just going to try and figure this out. End of the first half was tough. That's where this game felt like a trap game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We let up 39 points in the second quarter. I wouldn't be surprised if this was another like no adjustments were made type situation, but something clearly changed in the second half. It's not that we were like making more shots, because we held them to 36% shooting in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's just, I don't know, execution. There's changes made.
There were absolutely some changes made. Big thing in this. Mm-hmm. So not a whole lot to really dislike. I mean, it was a little sputtering in the first half. We stuck with it. You know, Derek Walton was fantastic. The big guys who had to show up showed up. Almost all of the 420 gang, if you will. Which is Kawhi, Paul George, Trez, and Lou. Kawhi 34 over 20. Paul George 27 over 20. Trez exactly at 20. Lou 18 points, just under 20. So,
but that's
the 420 club almost met.
That's what I'm saying is like generally though, the rest of the team will be able to cover up if
the
one of them, one to maybe two members doesn't do it.
And you know who covered up that tonight?
Derek Walton Jr.
Derek Walton Jr. One thing, this might be my biggest thing I disliked about this game.
All right, what do you got?
And maybe my biggest perturb of the whole year, I would say.
Okay.
Which is saying a whole lot, which is how I usually talk on this podcast. Jamichael Green played 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Accrued two.
This is your biggest gripe on the whole, like, on the whole season?
It could be. Accrued two fouls, went 0 of 1, never returned, clearly was not ready to play. Why did he play?
You got to warm it up sometimes.
Come on, man.
You got to warm it up sometimes.
This was a hard bail.
You got to warm it up.
I don't know, man. I didn't like this. This left like, I hope this doesn't come back to bite us. We need him for...
It's not, because he only played 4 minutes. You got to warm it up.
I don't know, man. Those weren't a productive 4 minutes.
You got to warm it up.
I'm going to be bummed if he can't play against the Pacers because of maybe like, we maybe put him in it. I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
It's a butt bruise, though. What's he re-injured? Well, like, what's he?
I don't know. Worst butt bruise. I don't know. Heard of it? could have gotten worse. Dude.
Whole bucket fall off, dude.
Happened to Howard last year. Happened to Gallo. God damn. How are we feeling? Heading into the game against Indiana, which we're going to preview on the next segment.
I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I'm like feeling meh.
We got the dub.
Yeah.
You know, we went there. We got the dub.
I'm feeling like I ate a bunch at a buffet. Like, I'm full. It wasn't very good.
But at the same time,
yeah. You know, like, yeah, it was fine.
The thing happened that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Whew. Well, let's hope we can get it. I'll tell you this. I'm feeling pretty good heading into the game. About the game, feel like we got the job done. Heading into the game, feeling pretty good.
I like that.
Coming up after this, we have a preview of the game against the Pacers.
Okay, so...
Is that your third segment voice, dude?
Okay. Clippers.
Just out of nowhere, just Macho Man Randy Savage. So we're playing the Indiana Pacers. Kind of a lot of injury questions in this game.
Yes.
For them, does Malcolm Brogdon play?
Is Brogdon playing?
He's listed as questionable. He did not play against the Knicks. They won that game by 1 point. Do you think Brogdon plays in this game?
I'm going to assume so, but I guess I don't know.
I'm going to say they sit him. I can't tell you why. Maybe because it's a Western Conference team.
It is. That's true.
For us, Doc Rivers, this is per Jovan Buha, Doc Rivers didn't say if Kawhi or Paul George will sit out tomorrow versus Indiana, but he suggested the team will most likely be with only one of the two stars. You and I both kind of came to the same conclusion. Paul George is not the sitter in this dynamic duo.
No.
He's the player.
I don't know about this. This sounds like some divisional bullshit.
Well, when someone's sitting. If it's a cryptic thing like Doc being like, maybe there'll be two, maybe there'll be one. I don't know.
Yeah, like if maybe, yeah. No, that's
fair. I'm not saying definitively, but like if it's Doc being coy, I feel like Paul George is playing.
You're saying Kawhi doesn't want to play.
That's not what I'm saying.
And you don't
all.
Like his attitude.
Okay, I hope people stopped listening 15 seconds ago and run with it. Do we want to see anyone else who is on the injury report play? Do you want to see Shamit play?
No.
Do you want to see Magruder play?
No.
Do you want to see Jermichael Green play?
Yes.
Whew. Even after the 4-minute disaster.
Yes.
That 4 minutes felt like an eternity. It felt bad. All right, what do we got to do well to beat this Pacers team?
Let's keep rebounding the ball well.
I'm here for it.
We're top three team in overall rebounding. We're at about 49 a game. They're 20th in the league.
Let's put it on them.
43 a game. We have some size. Yeah, I let's do it.
There's no reason for me to believe that we won't out-rebound them. We actually got, I think, did we get outscored in the paint against the Wizards? Excuse me, we didn't. We outscored them by 4. I'm so sorry. I hope the discrepancy is higher against the Pacers. If we're grabbing boards, there was a couple times against the Wizards specifically where Zoo grabbed like 2 boards in the same possession. Couldn't quite get the finishes. But he grabbed the boards, which was nice. So I see Trez having a big game in this regard.
That'd be great.
You know,
that'd
if
be
he can
huge.
Get going. One thing I noticed, we could maybe out-volume them from 3, which we're not used to doing that. So they're 30th in attempts,
mm-hmm.
but 5th in overall 3-point percentage.
Yeah, very efficient.
They also take the second most 2-pointers a game. So, if we're efficient early, we could force them into having to take more threes. Like, if we're hitting threes early, we could force them into having to take a lot more threes than they're used to taking.
Mm-hmm.
Which, even though they have a nice percentage, sometimes that once you compound that, it gets a little off track, which sometimes our team gets with. So, I think that's a possibility in this game.
I like it.
Like, if we're hitting early from the jump, it might scare them a little bit into having to make up for that.
I'd love to see the high volume. I want Paul George at least 10 attempts every single game
from 3.
Yeah,
I'm totally fine with that, especially with Shamit out, which we both want him to be for this game.
I think we increase our tempo. We're currently and these stats can be skewed because you are also taking into account the other team's pace.
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
But still, the Clippers have the 6th fastest pace in the league right now, averaging nearly 4 more possessions a game than the Pacers, who have 23rd ranked pace. I think if we could communicate well in transition, it'd be really nice. It's like one of those games.
Every game.
it's like one of those games where you get a you get a little bit of a chance to work on it, perhaps.
Oh, nice. I like that. The practice like you play type situation. Because there was some rough transition stuff against the Wizards.
And there has been all season.
Yeah, like that's been, I think, both kind of our biggest gripes. So, yeah, getting that worked out against this Pacers team would be good. Take care of the ball well.
Yes.
That's a big one.
So only 10 turnovers there in Washington, but we are still 27th in the league at around 16 a game to their 7th at under 14 a game.
This is one of the few Updike gripes I feel like we have on the show, which is a fair gripe.
You know, we do talk about it a lot. And I mean,
but turnovers are like the most, it's one of the most important stats in terms of how to not get beat in the playoffs. It's turning the ball over, you know?
Like, yeah, and some ways ours can be egregious. I don't expect it to be as low against this Pacers defense as it was tonight, but if we could still keep it under, let's say, 15, I'd be liking where we were at turnover-wise.
Turnovers always get me because I know it's like a hard thing to not, you can't really drill it like this, but mm-hmm. I'm always just like, any time that we're beating them or tied in turnovers without how we, in comparison to how we use our turnovers, if we tie, I'm like, great. Like, that feels like a win. Just because we can sometimes with lately, it's been a little loose.
It just depends on how much like the ball is actually moving and that's and really how the offense point. Is flowing.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
So, they don't have a single player who averages 20 or more a game.
They're coming at you from all angles.
But they do have a bunch of dudes, yeah, like Domantas Sabonis, who I talk about all the time, TJ Warren, all around like 17, 20, Jeremy Lamb, like right up there. If a couple of these guys can step up offensively there at home or like is feeling it, you know, there is some dangerous scorers there. They don't quite have a 420 club, but
no, but it's close. It's like a 311 club.
Oh, dang!
Much worse.
Much worse.
Yeah, and like we're gonna talk about this in the matchups, but Sabonis is like it's 6'11".
Yeah.
So he poses.
If they have
he matches up against our wings fairly well in terms of like the length and everything.
If they have him and Turner sharing the floor, that length is a little troubling to me.
Which is our biggest. Kind of kryptonite for this team. We are a long team, but you know, length, unstoppable force meets immovable object type of situation. We move the ball a lot and length bothers us. And then of course in classic Clippers or Pacers fashion, they have a very competent defense.
Yes.
They are well drilled. Our guys are going to need to run things crisply. And we notice this when you watch like the four rookies and one vet lineup play for the Clippers on offense. Mm-hmm. It's very clearly just like set plays. Like you're watching almost because they run things so crisply because they're trying to run it so
they like don't they can't deviate from it. Really,
they cannot deviate from the plan at all, and it really shows in that like fourth string offense or whatever.
Yeah,
that needs to rub off a little bit against the first string if the Pacers come out truly locked in.
Yes.
We need that crisp ball movement, this, you know, the spaghetti gospel.
The intentionality with, like, very, like,
there can't be any second guessing. Sort of, yeah, there can't be any jump passes. We got away with some of those tonight against the Wizards, which you will against a defense like that. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the complete opposite defense. This is a very competent defense that routinely gets them into positions to win games, and they're playing pretty well.
So what matchups should we be looking for in this one?
Sabonis, we talked about Kawhi and Mo and Paul. It feels like it's going to be maybe like a pick your poison. If something starts to get hot, they'll keep that one guy on him.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But so.
Or.
He shot 72% against the Knicks. They did only beat the Knicks by one, which I think is something that's not being talked about enough.
Yeah.
And so I was worried about this matchup. And then I was looking at that score, the box score against the Knicks.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Sabonis shot 72% against the Knicks, and they won by one, which, I don't know. It seems like their bench didn't play too well against them. If we can just kind of stop one of... When you have such an egalitarian attack, mm-hmm. if Brogdon doesn't play, if we shut down one of these guys between Sabonis, Warren, and really that's...
Brogdon.
Well, if Brogdon doesn't play is what I'm saying. So gotcha. If we shut down one of those two guys, I think we're fine. But I think to shut down Sabonis, it might be Mo?
Yeah, or flip side, Mo guards Brogdon if he plays.
Yeah, I want that, yeah.
that kind of makes the most sense with Doc liking this matchup of Mo on guards.
And he's proven it too. Like, it's one of those things where, like,
he's done really well.
Sometimes Doc likes something and it's kind of, like, not everyone
likes the idea of it.
Yeah, like everyone's like, well, we can see like that, yeah, this looks good on paper, but it hasn't really looked good in practice. This has looked great in practice.
Yeah.
Like in full force. And then, yeah, so we think maybe Kawhi on Sabonis.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's got the more active hands.
I could see that. He's stouter than Paul George.
So then we probably got Paul George on TJ Warren.
I could see that.
Right?
I could see that.
He's our leading scorer with Brogdon out.
Yeah.
I kind of hope we just do multiple looks.
Uh-huh.
Another big thing is going to be clips versus depth.
Yes, we are getting like, deep into those rotations right now.
So I'd imagine Patterson plays, right? Because it was kind of a surprise that he didn't play
tonight
against the Wiz. Yeah. I'd imagine Patterson plays. As far as Jermichael, what are we thinking?
I hope that he plays at least 10 minutes.
I hope he does too.
But you'd rather him not play at all if he's not going
to
play.
If he's not going to play 10, if he's not like ready to go for 10, then I don't really
want
to
see him play. I think that's fair. Yeah, I can see that.
And then like Shamit, I guess just rest up.
Yeah.
Like if there hasn't really been an update.
Why on a road trip? Get these guys right at home.
Give him back home. So you're saying Magruder off too?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this game? We didn't speak about Patrick Beverley, but he's gonna have to have a big game too. Had a great game against the Wiz. We didn't talk about that too much, but he had a good Patrick Beverley game.
Very solid. Let's see. I think that we take this one. Bucks 16, Buck 08.
Okay, I like that. I think we win this one too, and I think it eases. I think we can definitely get the back-to-back win on the road. I think getting that puts some nice wind in our sails for that game against the Raptors.
Okay.
When Kawhi gets his ring, which is going to be very fun. But yeah, I think we get the win on the road. I think the back-to-back wins feel good. I think it eases maybe some people if they still have a bad taste in their mouth from that Milwaukee game. I think the back-to-back on the road is a nice boost, you know?
I mean, always good to
get that.
Always good to stay a couple games above 500 on a road trip.
And if you're winning two, because we got a 3-4 situation. If you're winning two in that 3-4, that's nice. I think we win two. I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. I think it's going to be like 107-102 clips.
Okay.
Yeah. But hey, here's another 120 points or something like that. Tuesday's episode, we're going to have a hopeful victory recap over the Pacers. We're going to have Twitter Tuesday. So send in your questions to @LockedOnClips, @CharlesMock, or @WilliamUpdick. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland will be talked about too. Thank you so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.